Welcome to Come Follow Me on the Go. My name is Kylie, and this podcast is designed for families and children that are in the car and on the go. In each podcast episode, I will be sharing brief stories from the Come Follow Me lesson plans. I will also provide questions that families can pause the podcast and discuss and chat and grow closer together as a family unit and closer to Christ while they are in the car and on the go. All right, welcome back, you guys. My voice is like finally normal, so this is a great week for me. We are going to jump into 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And from what I've gathered, there are saints in Jerusalem who need help. So the disciples are taking it upon themselves to kind of reach out to other cities and places and members of the church and kind of ask for assistance for the members in Jerusalem. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's reminding them about a time that the people living in Macedonia were in a really big trial. So they financially were suffering. As far as we know, it says that they had great poverty and they had great trials. But despite all of that, they had an abundance. So a lot of joy and happiness. And even in their poverty, they gave of their resources very generously. Like they gave more than they could visually see that they could give, if that makes sense. So they gave more food away than they thought they could. And they were blessed even more because of it. So he's reminding these Corinthians of like, these people were suffering. Like they were in the middle of a trial, but they still had joy because of their testimony in Christ. And they still had faith and the desire they wanted to help other people still. And he's then tells them, you guys have an abundance and we need help. These saints in Jerusalem need help. In verse 12, he goes on and he says, like, if you have a willing mind, like you want to give, like that's acceptable from Heavenly Father. And he wants you to give only what you can give. So he explains this as he doesn't want you to suffer because you're saving this person. Instead, he wants everybody equal, right? He wants everybody to have bread, everybody to have food and water and finances to support them, their family equally. But you still have to have that want and that desire. So he's asking them to like check themselves, to prove themselves that they do have that desire. So the question that comes to mind for me is, when was the last time your family did a service or a charitable thing together as a family unit? Maybe it was simply like going to the orchard and picking fruits. Or maybe it was a family that was in need and you guys made dinner for them. Whatever it was, when was the last time that you guys were able to do that together as a family? Or maybe you did do it individually, but share that experience, how it felt doing it. Sometimes it doesn't feel that great doing it. It's hard work sometimes. But afterwards, we feel good for sure. So if it doesn't feel good while you're doing it, how did you feel after? Or maybe you just felt good the whole time, but chat about it. Okay, we are going to move into chapter 9 now, and I'm going to read, I'm going to tell you about verse 6. So in verse 6, Paul is teaching the Corinthians about what we soweth, we reapeth. So what does he mean by soweth? Back then, or even now, people will refer to planting a field, right? Planting seeds as soweth. You would sow the seeds into the ground, and you would reapeth, you would collect whatever you put in. So he says, if you sow sparingly, if you put only a few seeds in the ground, you're only going to collect a few seeds in return. But he says, if you sow or plant bountifully, so if you plant a lot of seeds, you're going to collect a lot of fruits or vegetables or whatever you sow into the ground. Now, Paul in this is talking about I think being charitable, because he moves into chapter 7 about giving to others from your heart. He says the Heavenly Father doesn't want you to give grudgingly or of necessity, but he wants a cheerful giver. So he doesn't want, Heavenly Father doesn't want you to give to others because, oh, we're commanded to give, so I'm going to give. Or, oh, I really need this blessing, so I'm going to do service and hope that I get this blessing. That's not how he wants us to go about it. And I also think that we can think of verse 6 in more than just a service-oriented way. I think in all of life, whatever we're going to put effort in, we will reap benefits in, right? So if I choose to only work on learning to sew for 1 year of my life, I'm not going to have got that much better. But if I practice sewing all of my life, then I'm going to reap the benefit of that and become a really good sewer. Or whatever it is I'm wanting to learn, if I'm wanting to work on my patience or my understanding of those around us or my listening skills, whatever seed I want to plant inside my heart and I want it to grow and become better happens if I plant a lot, if I'm working on it constantly and consistently. So my question for you guys is, what seed does your family want to plant right now as a family unit? Or maybe individually you guys can discuss, what is something that you would love to in the future be able to reap bountifully, to be really good at this skill or whatever it is you're wanting to get better at. Chat about it and maybe make a plan, make a roadmap for how you're going to accomplish reaping that benefit. Okay, so moving into chapter 10, I absolutely love these verses, and I'm not gonna lie, I highlighted them because I could tell they were cool, but I didn't understand them. So I had to go into like multiple translations, the NIV or the Message of the Bible, to like get a better picture of what Paul was trying to teach us. But Paul is teaching us like how we fight our battles in this life. And he's telling us that like, we do not fight our battles like the world is going to fight the battles. Those are not our tools for warfare. He says we have spiritual tools that will bring down all of the world's challenges and corruptions and evils. And we just have to utilize our Heavenly Father's tools. So my question for you guys, these verses are like 3 through 7-ish. In chapter 10. So chat with your family. What do you guys think those spiritual tools are that Heavenly Father has armed us with if we're willing and able and seeking to develop and learn and utilize those tools? What do you think they are? I also think it would be a good discussion to see what war is going on in your kid's life right now. What battle are they facing? And then make a spiritual plan of attack. How are you tackling and conquering that current battle in their life together? What tool will you use? Okay, so in chapter 11, Paul tells the saints that he is worried that they're being corrupted like Eve was corrupted by Satan's like sly deceits. So it's obvious that there are like, there's starting to be different preachers coming around from different churches. And apparently they're kind of flashy. Sometimes they like collect money for people to help with their travels. And Paul reminds these saints, he's like, I have never asked for your assistance or your finances. I'm not flashy, but I speak the truth. Like, I've never held any truth back from you. And then he reminds them, like, if I do need to brag, let me brag on what makes me humble or little like Christ, like suffer like Christ. So he reminds them, like, I was whipped 5 times. I was beaten with a rod. I've been stoned. I suffered shipwrecks. He tells them of all the pains and the stresses and the worries that come with being a disciple. He reminds them how he had to like crawl out of a hole and be let down in a basket to escape from Damascus. But the biggest takeaway from chapter 11 for me was actually in verse 3 when he says he's worried that they're losing sight of the simplicity that is in Christ. So they're getting distracted by all these big and grand and interesting parts of the gospel, or maybe it's just parts that these preachers are preaching that aren't really true disciples of Christ. And he wants them to remember the simplicity in Christ. So my little thought for you is, what is the simplest truth that you know about Christ? Okay, so in chapter 12, Paul is still kind of getting after the Corinthian saints for all of a sudden judging Paul harshly and altering their views on him based on what these preachers have been coming in and saying and being flashy. And so he tells them about a time that he was caught up in a vision, and he tells them that he went up to paradise. He went to heaven with Christ and was taught all these things that he is not able to speak. And then he tells them, because of this, I have been actually given challenges and hardships, and he calls them a thorn in the flesh. But he says, he asked for these challenges to be taken away from him 3 times. But he's learned now that because of these challenges and hardships, he has been given strength. So now he is grateful for and appreciates the infirmities and hard things that come to him in his life, because he sees now that he is made whole and complete through these trials by leaning on Christ. So he says, he's teaching them to be grateful for the challenges that come their way and to use them as a tool to grow closer to Christ and stronger through Christ. So my question is, how do you currently see challenges in your life? Are they miserable for you and you're very negative about it? Or are you positive and you see it as a tool to get you closer to Christ and you're using it in that way? Maybe instead of praying for this challenge to go away, you are praying for, what can I learn from this challenge to get closer to Christ or to be a better disciple of Christ? So share a challenge that you have right now and discuss how you are viewing it currently. Are you viewing it positively or negatively? Okay, we're going to look at one more verse in chapter 13. And in this verse, Paul gives us some really good instructions. Well, I should say he leaves the Corinthians with some really good instructions that apply to us as well. He says, examine yourself. So if we are a doctor or an investigator and we are examining something, right, we're going to get our glasses on, we're going to get a magnifying glass, we're going to be digging in and looking at the truth, right? The deepest, most parts of ourselves. Look at it, right? The raw and the ugly. Take a look at it. He says, examine if you are in the faith. So I thought it was interesting that he used the word in versus a lot of times we speak about having faith. So what's the difference between being in something and having something? The only thing I could really think of is if I have something, I like to hold it, right? Like I have my Bible and I hold it in my hands. I have a puppy and he sits on my lap. Like I have it and I hold on to it. Whereas if I'm in something, like I'm in it and I'm using it, I'm in the pool and I'm swimming, I'm in the gym and I'm working out, I'm in the studio and I'm stretching, right? So I am currently using it actively if I'm in it. I'm not just holding on to it till I need it. So I thought it was really interesting that he asked you to see if you are currently in the faith. So are you currently in it and working at it and using it on the daily? And then he says, prove yourself. And prove can mean test or try, right? So test it out, test your faith out, use it, stretch it, try your ability at being charitable and generous and donating and giving of yourself, even when maybe you feel stretched to do so. And then he reminds them that Jesus Christ is in you. Okay, so having Jesus Christ in us again is like insinuating it's active, right? It is something we can actively use for our benefit. So the question that I have for this short little verse, which is verse 5, is would you kids rather be in the faith or have the faith? So another example with this would be, would you rather have the football on your shelf or would you rather be in the football game? Okay, that is all that I have for you guys this week. It was wonderful to study and learn more for myself and for my family. I hope that you guys were able to grow closer together as a family and closer to Christ while you are in the car and on the go. Until next time.